When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kenneth Walker for sure, just too rich for me. That's the Cadbury egg, man. Just the Cadbury egg, that's an overload, right? Like it's a lot of sugar. That's a lot of sugar. Yeah.
With Easter, you get more chocolate. That's like that's the bottom.
That's a nag though. That's a nag. You want a greater variety. You want some Nerds ropes. You want some Sour Patch Kids. You want some watermelon Sour Patch Kids. You want Swedish Fish. You want chocolate.
I'm just telling you, let's move on with this segment.
I'm concerned for both of your guys' in-depth knowledge on the potential candy available on these holidays.
It's not a micro take, Dave. It's a macro take.
I'm picturing like Davis going to these, you know, local youth area, you know, or local area youth football practices and going up to all the dads and being like, are you sure you really want your kid to be a running back?
Yeah. What?
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com. I'm David Kitchen, joined by Davis Maddock. Davis, say hello.
Hello, everyone. How are we? Dave, do you like my new camera angle?
Yeah, it's. I feel like I'm eye level with you, which, you know, that's not been the case at all, ever in our relationship. So I do like it. Much better. We also have Peter Overzet on the show. Pete, how's it going?
I'm doing good. I was wondering if you were going to ask me to say hello, like you asked Davis to say hello.
Yeah, but after Davis said his hello, I'm like, no. When he said, how are we? You know. And then we have a special guest with us, Lord Reeves. Reeves, he ghosted us last week. JJ, he gave a lame excuse about his internet not working, dog eating his homework. But we somehow convinced Reeves to be with us today on the show. And Reeves, I just want to say thank you.
Listen, I didn't ghost you guys. Somehow I got caught on a Gilligan's Island 3-hour Matt Kelly tour last week. You know, Pete actually texted me, I believe at 11:30 to see if I would come on the show. And I didn't even get off that podcast until you guys were done recording. That's how long it was. So hopefully we don't go 3 hours, but you know, I always love to come chat with you guys anytime I get a chance to.
No, we're going to go 3 hours. I might eat a little bit on the show though. This is legit Mediterranean bowl that was just brought to me.
Are you pumping Kyle Cannon's bags right now? Is that kava?
No, this is some other Mediterranean place. I don't know. We have this is a lamb bowl, but we have this awesome assistant who like we just used to get like just barbecue like every week. You know, it was just dudes in here. Now we've got this awesome assistant named Danielle. She ships t-shirts. She like brings in like cultured food every week for us. It's I cannot sing her praises enough. So shout out to Danielle out there. I might have a few bites just because I'm starving and I've been working really hard today, like meetings all day today.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Davis, Dan Bach is in the office. Like I have been having meetings.
You know what? Let's look. If you want to bring Dan in and we can ask him to, you know, check your hourly you know, itinerary, what you submit, then
he's been on the meetings with me. So anyway.
Yeah. No, an all hands meeting. I heard Better Collective just bought Footbin, I was telling Alex, Fear My Turtle, I was telling him that was my dream job to run Footbin. So,
I mean, Davis, know. All you got to do, you know that I'm the guy that makes things happen here.
Yeah.
Knows that.
Everyone knows. Everyone knows that you're the CEO of Roto Girders. No doubt about it.
Total wanted a job. What'd I do? Got him a job. Fear My Turtle and Sean wanted on board. I said, let me talk to some people. We made it happen. So Davis, if you want to run Footbin, you know, I'll run it to the top of the chain and see what we come back with.
So you run it to yourself?
Yeah, I thought you were
no. There's a few rungs above me. Oh, okay. Davis, if you could send me your resume, that would be awesome. Like, what qualifies you to run a major site that gets a ton of traffic?
I've probably spent like $17,000 on FIFA Ultimate Team in my lifetime. If I had to put a number on it, that'd be my guess.
It's like me in Clash of Clans. All right, let's start. We're gonna talk about running backs in this draft class. Not fun. Let's start though with another running back and some breaking news. Debo Samuel, Reeves. What's happening right now?
I mean, I guess like I mean I don't really know. I'm not in Debo Samuel's camp, but underneath the hood, I mean, I would say that he really wants to be paid like a lot of these wide receivers have been paid this offseason. He's in the final year of his rookie contract. No fifth year option is available to him because he was a second round pick. So I think that the 49ers maybe, want to keep him in the similar role that he had the back half of last year. Debo kind of probably wants to be paid like a wide receiver. And who knows, like on the behind the scenes, like what's going on, you know, internally with the 49ers, you know, how do people feel about this transition to Trey Lance? How do the people that were in the building last year feel about Trey Lance? And his ability to play the NFL quarterback.
Oh man, what if this is really Debo just being like, I don't want to fucking catch passes from this guy.
I mean, last year it was a very small sample, but he had 23 targets from Trey Lance and 10 were catchable. Not great.
That's not how I wanted that sentence to go. I really wanted that sentence to be 23 targets was like a 35% target share, and the 10 catchable targets was the roller coaster down.
Obviously, Lance had like a microscopic sample last year, but yeah, Debo, 43% success rate targeted from Lance, 68% from Garoppolo. And I wonder if internally we've heard nothing positive about Trey Lance at all.
Not one thing. No.
So who knows? But it is a positive for Debo, I think, overall. Like, people forget like he's an actual like good wide receiver. First, I mean, all of his wide receiver metrics stand out, and it's not just yak ability too. We saw him fully function as an alpha wide receiver the front half of last year. He averaged 10 targets per game over the first 8 games of the season at a 31% team target share. He's averaged over 2 yards per route run over his entire career. Anytime he's played, got an extended run and been able to stay on the field, he's been absolutely awesome for fantasy football. He's had 29 career games where he's played just 2/3 of the snaps in the offense, and in those games, he's averaged 18 PPR points per game and has had single-digit PPR points in just 4 of those games. So he is an actually good wide receiver, too. People forget just that the necessity that was placed upon his situation last year kind of drove him into unique usage. And I don't know if he really wants to be in that role, right? Like, who wants to have that many, like, touches as a wide receiver?
He doesn't want to get tackled, and he doesn't want to get paid like a running
get
back.
Get paid by a running back, yeah. Like, this offseason has been – the craziest offseason that we've ever had, right? And then, like, a lot of it has to do with wide receivers. Like, do you think they're being divas or, like, this? They're just trying to capitalize on what they have? Because A.J. Brown, same exact situation as Debo, doesn't have a fifth-year option because he's a second-round pick. He just needs to step away from Twitter for a little bit because of all the drama involved there. But Reek, like, what are some other situations that cause this to be a crazy offseason, Peter?
Devontae Adams.
Well, it all goes back 2 years ago. DeAndre Hopkins 2 years ago set the market basically from his fallout with Bill O'Brien and, you know, getting traded to the Cardinals. And Devontae Adams has since chased that money for 2 years. The annual, it's not like Hopkins was actually, you know, getting, you know, $26 million per year. It was the average. By the time that money comes to the end, he probably won't get it. But that was where the market was. You know, people keep thinking it was, you know, necessarily Adams. Hopkins was the one that set this a couple years ago. And everyone has kind of just started the snowball in this year, this offseason. It's all been wide receiver stuff. And it's not going to stop because you have McLaurin. Deontay Johnson is another second rounder from that 2019 class. None of those guys have fifth-year options. They're all looking to cash in this final year where they're not making a lot of money.
Good for them.
The funny thing about the Debo stuff, too, as it pertains to Lance, is his ADP is just not budged. Like, people are drafting him as if there's literally zero Jimmy G risk. What would it take if Debo Samuel came out and said, I do not want to catch footballs from Trey Lance? Would we finally see Trey Lance?
No. Flip a little? No. Trey Lance ended last year as a top 12 fantasy quarterback, despite the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo took the first snap in all the preseason games. Like, people were just, yep, they were just pot committed. No one cared.
He can run, and he's such a good runner that, like, people, yeah, still won't, like, fully cave. And people will fully buy into, you know, anything Kyle Shanahan led, right, to coax the most ability out of him, even without Deebo Samuel, because they'll still have Kittle, they'll still have Ayuk. You assume if they do trade Deebo Samuel, they are getting premium capital in return for him to add another guy, too. So, I don't think people are really going to fall off the ledge on him either.
Yeah. What if Deebo gets traded to the Chiefs?
Great fit,
Chiefs. They won't do that. That's not happening. But the Jets are probably the most likely team to have the capital and the cap space for it, and they have the San Francisco connection with Mike LaFleur and Robert Saleh. But is this the resurgence of Trey Sermon stonks? Does Trey Sermon now actually have a viable chance to be a thing? Because it's just him and Elijah Mitchell left. I don't believe they have tendered Jeff Wilson. I don't think he's on.
They
the
did.
Team.
He signed for 1 year.
All right. Well, then never mind. It's not.
They're going to add a guy too, for sure.
Oh, they're taking Damian Pierce in the fourth round or whatever. Yeah, no doubt. Pierce Strong, Rashad White, one of these guys.
No, but they're going to like trade a future second to move up four spots to grab him too. Yes. Like we had to get our guy.
Yeah. Why isn't Joe Williams in the USFL?
Oh my God, Joe Williams. Never forget.
How were the USFL streets, Peter?
From a DFS perspective, just a stone cold disaster.
What happened?
Let people know that maybe we're not in the DFS streets for USFL. Like,
yeah,
what transpired? So about, too long didn't read.
Yeah, you get the whole thing.
Okay. Number one, they accidentally sent out way too many free tickets. And by way too many, I mean 20,000 plus free tickets. So the contest filled on Friday afternoon. And a lot of people who actually wanted to register and put in a bunch of entries weren't even able to get in. They were shut out. So the contest was comprised of literally 20,000 plus people who had one entry. Two, on top of it, then when the contest locked for the 4-game slate on Saturday, instead of just showing the ownership percentages for who was active in that Saturday night game, they flipped over the percentages for the entire contest. So you could go through any person's lineup and see their entire full lineup and the full roster percentages. Then their live scoring wasn't working. They didn't have a defensive scoring like figured out for three quarters. And then the games got postponed and they were debating whether to include that as part of the main slate or not. And I think Levitan ended up bowling them into keeping it still on the main slate. So it was just an absolute disaster.
And You forgot the worst part of it, which is that there's only one good team in the league and most of the other teams just wanted to run the ball.
I heard a lot of handoffs were taking place.
Some team ran the ball 24 straight times.
The New Jersey team ran the ball 20. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys watched all this stuff too, right? I assume.
Oh God.
I did not watch all of it. I did watch some of it. I did not watch all of it. I couldn't do it.
Who are the quarterbacks in this league? They have to be ass.
They're the
Tiamo, Shea Patterson.
And then Tiamo is on the only good team. The Tampa Bay Bandits are like the only good team.
Well, the other thing that's going to be just such a massive headache is most of the teams were employing some kind of committee. You know, it was like Brian Scott and Tiamo were a couple of the only ones who played 100%.
Six of the eight teams had at least two players with four or more passing attempts. And the other tilting thing, and this was fairly predictable, I think, but most teams had no clear hierarchy for wide receiver targets. It was just like totally random relative to what we expected from before. I think three guys maybe have a target share above 35%, but every team, just due to the structure of the contracts and stuff, really only has two running backs. And because all these teams want to run so much, it actually means that it sets up for these super boring DFS slates where you're rostering three running backs, maybe two guys from the same team, and just hoping for like 1 yard rushing touchdowns. So not great. in general. Not a great DFS product, unfortunately. Yeah, I think that all of these spring leagues really miss out on one key element, which is you have to change the rules or incentivize passing, or
it's got to be exciting
defense.
Yeah,
it's got to be exciting. No one wants to see 24 straight 3-yard rushing plays.
Yeah, that's bad.
Were people at these games? Like, did people go to these things
on Saturday? They did, but then it was Sunday. It was Easter, and it was raining, and there was nobody there.
Yeah,
and the other thing is all of these games are played in a central location, so it's like you literally had to be in the city of Birmingham, Alabama, to go. Like, it's not like, oh, you know, it's a day out in Tampa Bay or whatever. Like, let's just go do this, drink some cheap beer, whatever. So the people all went on Saturday, and it's not like it's, you know, Birmingham is
double fines.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not spending my whole weekend going to USFL football games. So it seemed poorly thought out in that regard.
All right. Running back in this year's class. Also, it seemed pretty bad. We're going to get to those in a second. If you would go ahead and like the video, subscribe, appreciate the people that left comments, like our old pal Zach Duke, OG Man's fan, Jordan, Nick Bird. Willis is awesome, super fan there. Hey Willis, message me. I'm gonna get you a t-shirt. I'll get you a Swolecast t-shirt. Yeah,
Willis is the GOAT commenter.
He is.
He never leaves a show without a comment. We appreciate you, Willis.
So Peter, I want to take just 30 seconds and you let the people know about the Moonbirds.
Oh, wow. This is a Trojan horse for you to talk about Moonbirds.
It's not. Okay. If you wanted to lead into that, you can, but I think I'm shocked. I'm stunned. You had a single entry into the whitelist. How many people signed up for the whitelist?
I know the chance ended up being you had about a 25% chance to get one. So I think they had like 8,000. So whatever that math ends up being.
And then you got one, you paid 2.5 ETH, which
a lot of money.
Yeah, you paid like $7,500 for a pixelated Moonbird. Correct. And then what happened? Like, take us through this process.
Yeah, that was, I think, Friday, and it felt like a pretty safe mint. I think most people thought it was
500, 2.5 ETH. Yeah, it's safe.
Well, people are like, oh yeah, this will be 5 ETH, 6 ETH. You'll double your money on this. I was like, all right, this sounds nice. I'll go for it. And the floor now is 21 ETH, and it's just been a rocket ship over the weekend. Easter, it was absolutely pumping. And yeah, and then I was on Club Top Shot last night. Everyone, CSU, Jack, and BL trying to tell me to sell. And I'm just sitting here with my bird chilling in my nest.
Yeah. I'm telling you also to sell and just get like 20, 30 Mooncats and just become a legend. You would become a legend. Sunday was my anniversary.
No, I think you should just it's a really good time to buy Top Shots right now. I think
Sunday was my anniversary. It was Easter, and I have like Mooncat sales bot on Twitter. I have alert notifications turned on because usually it's like
you have alert notifications for that bot.
Yeah, a lot of humble brags in there.
No, it's really not.
This is not a very humble brag from Peter.
It's
not
pretty
a humble
sad.
Brag from Dave.
Right. So my Apple Watch just starts going crazy for the entire
Another
day.
Humble brag.
Yeah, there was like 600 sales in 24 hours just because of the Moonbirds. And people are like, well, if Moonbirds go to 20 ETH, then the first on-chain generative art project, Mooncats, will also go up. So yeah, it was a crazy day for the moon things. And I can only hope for just continual rocket ship emoji upwards. Appreciate everyone who checked in on me during those crazy times. All right. Enough about historical projects that you want to invest in. Let's move on to running backs that you want to invest in.
Nice segue, Dave.
Thank you. Reams, you have to pick one.
You have to pick one regardless of where they end up. Who is it? Because there are a few options, right?
I mean, there's two options. So it's basically two and then wide open. But I mean, I would pick Breece Hall. I mean, he doesn't do anything like the individual, one individual component of Breece Hall's game isn't the best. Like there's someone better in this draft class than him probably at it. But the whole package together is he's the best all around running back in this class. I mean, he's the second youngest running back in this class. He's only going to be a 21-year-old rookie. He's got 3 years of elite production. He's got 3 years of catching the football out of the backfield production. He's got 20 or more catches since the last three seasons. He's also got the size. He's 217 pounds, and he's got kind of like the physical profile. Nothing. There's really no like real red flags with him. So, I mean, I'm just not going to really overthink it. Whereas like Kenneth Walker maybe has like a blemish or two and just stick with Breece Hall at the top.
Yeah. Davis, why are people ranking Kenneth Walker over Breece Hall?
Hopium.
Boredom.
It's where like I was just talking to Aiden Winks before we got on, and I was like, yeah, Rich and I just spent like 7 minutes talking about Greg Dulcich on Monday, so we're about done doing the prospect thing. Like we're now at the point where people are just arguing and watching Khalil Shakir film. It's like enough already. Like just do the draft. Like just get it over with.
What has happened? The contentious one
is Spiller. Spiller is the one who is contentious, where some people are just, they love this guy, and there's just from an analytical perspective, not that much to love about him.
So
the answer to what has happened to running backs is that premium athletes are playing other positions so that they can earn more money in the National Football League.
Is that your macro take? Wouldn't that take multiple years? You know, because that would have to start at
like someone like the youth level and the chat.
That I could see that happening long term, but I feel like that would take like 10 years to really play out. It's like when my grandpa used to tell me that I should become a long snapper because it's much easier to get into the NFL. They don't have as many long snappers.
Yeah,
I don't buy it either though. I don't buy it either, just from the monetary stance would seem to make sense, but like people that play sports like want to be good at sports, and no one gets to touch the football more than running backs and the quarterback. And
that's,
I think,
true.
Like playing running back for people is like genuinely fun.
Yeah, I don't buy it either, because like also all these running backs, like they were good in college. Do you have any examples of running backs that were like really good in college that they were like, I want to switch positions? Like, I feel like Jalen Hurd did it like he had to when he transferred, but no one else is really doing that.
No, it's just my macro take. it's not a micro take, Dave. It's a macro take. Maybe read a book and look at the definition of those words.
I'm picturing like Davis going to these, you know, local youth area, you know, or local area youth football practices and going up to all the dads and be like, are you sure you really want your kid to be a running back?
Yeah. Why don't you tell him to slim up a little bit and play cornerback? Yeah.
All these line NFL franchises outside. Want these big cornerbacks now. Yeah.
All right. Do you have an educated take, Rich, on why the running back classes these past few years have been somewhat down?
Well, I mean, 2 years ago, we had arguably the best running back class, like maybe since like, 2008. Yeah. So like that class was really good. You know, last year was good at the top. I mean, this year just is very thin. We've got two guys that we know we feel real good about. And then the RB3 can literally be anybody. Everyone kind of has their own like flavor of choice after that. And the draft capital could be just really scattershot. So maybe it's just a down year. We know we have some elite running backs still in college. You know, Bijan Robinson is still there. Travion Henderson, we saw him pop up last year for Ohio State. Like there's legit talent at the running back position that still is coming. It just might be kind of one of those, you know, oddball years. But I mean, we've seen that NFL teams are more hesitant to invest in the position. I mean, even in that 2020 class, which objectively was really good on paper, you know, you had Jonathan Taylor, you had J.K. Dobbins, you had DeAndre Swift. I mean, those guys all still went in like the top of the second round still, you know, except for Clyde Edwards-Helaire stuck in that last pick. Secure that fifth year option on that running back, Chiefs. You got it.
Don't, but come on. We're amongst friends here. Is it good or bad for my position? Probably bad for my position that four of the running backs in this class are converted linebackers. That they were too slow to play linebacker, so they all moved to running back. Allgeier is the big one, but there are multiple guys who converted from linebacker in this class to running back.
Yeah, well, I mean, linebacker is turning into the running back of the defense.
Right. So at least you have the fun of holding the ball. Like, at least you get to touch the ball when you're a running back. Yeah.
I mean, no teams get to play three linebackers on the field in the NFL anymore. So, I mean, your options are getting thin there.
That's true.
Hey, I got a question. You've got Ramondre Stevenson. Let's say you know what Ramondre Stevenson is. You have to place him in this year's rankings. Like, who would you rather have over Ramondre Stevenson in this draft class?
Brees and Walker.
Just two? That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Rich, is there a third you'd...
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple guys I like here. He'd be in that mix. You know, he's more like with Damian Pierce, maybe in that kind of mold of like upside. But yeah, I mean, definitely just the two. That's what we said. It's just a clear like cutoff. There's a clear tier of two. And then like Spiller is a guy, he checks a lot of boxes, but there's a lot of just hope. Like, you're just hoping he gets the draft capital. You're hoping he gets the opportunity at the next level for a player that just largely just isn't all that inspiring, but is all accounts like baseline good enough if we can just get the opportunity.
I'm pretty bullish on Brian Robinson, because I think he's that good, but I think he's going to get drafted in the second round by some dumb team that wants to give him 200 touches. And he's big, and he played at Alabama. Like, I just like, that's just the type of guy who gets overdrafted.
For dynasty rookie drafts, what is your guys's lean on how it shakes out? Do you think after the NFL draft, everyone is just like, yep, it's just these two running backs at the top, and maybe some values really emerge as these guys get pushed down just because people are macro down on the class? Or is it the same old story as every year? Once we see these landing spots, we tell ourselves the best possible scenario and overdraft the hell out of these guys.
49ers take someone, the Chiefs take someone, the Buccaneers take someone. It writes itself.
But 49ers, yeah, I think you separate from those other two because people are going to have recency bias based on Trey Sermon last year.
Well, what about recency bias on Eli Mitchell, 6th-round pick?
Yeah, but Trey Sermon, like, everyone was up on Trey Sermon last year, and then they just didn't use him. So,
well, no, some of us knew he stunk. Some of us had zero of him. Some of us watched him transfer away from Oklahoma because he couldn't beat out a guy who's going to be an undrafted free agent this year.
But to Pete's point, too, you'll also, while the wide receiver class is what's popular in this draft right now, but you'll also have some flavors of choice from that wide receiver group fall lower than where people are expecting. So once draft capital shakes out, you'll have like kind of a little mix up. But yeah, I'm of the opinion that once we get some guys like landing spots and we have kind of the order of some of these guys and landing spot, like, you'll see some guys start to climb. Like, no one knows. Like, what if James Cook is taken in the back of the second round, or like, right, Zamir White's taken? Like, you know, those types of things are always going to push guys up. And, you know, in fantasy circles, like, these guys still matter, especially more. Like, I talked to Davis about it on his podcast. About it, like, you're looking at like rookies to make an impact, like, you're still like, these running backs, even if they go on day three, are still going to be, have a lot more probability than your wide receivers on day three, because it could just be an injury or two that forces these guys to play, like a Khalil Herbert last year and Elijah Mitchell, whereas like people are taking like Seth Williams in the third round, like hoping that like he gets to play. Like, that stuff doesn't happen. Like, there's going to be running backs taken in day three of this class that are going to contribute to dynasty teams immediately, a lot more so than these, like, these day three wide receivers.
Yep.
100%. Talking about round two running backs, Rich, thoughts on Derrick Henry this upcoming year?
I mean, listen, I mean, I've been trying to fade Derrick Henry for his entire career. It hasn't.
Yeah, I know. Well. I'm wondering if this is the year that you get smart and you kind of understand that he is a beast and he has talent.
Whatever year he finally beats us in a submission is going to be the year that he just totally duds.
We did take him on a main event team, Davis and I, with Pat Foreman and Evan 2 years ago, and it worked out tremendously.
Silva pressed that button.
Listen, the big dog's got to follow the big dog. He was 100% right. This is why, you know, Evan continues to eat.
Yep, yeah, it's true.
So you would put Derrick Henry above Jonathan Taylor this year, Rich?
I would not, but I appreciate the push there. I mean, I'm not going to draft Derrick Henry either. There's just no way. Because, like, now that we're at, like, the point, like, I've conceded that he's a unicorn, but now we're at the point where he's, like, legitimately finally gotten hurt and he's 28 years old, and I'm just, like, I'm not going to just continue to invest that top dollar.
Yeah.
Freak injury, correct, though. Freak injury when he got hurt.
Fair enough.
It's like a, it's not like a soft tissue injury. Like, he had a, like, a bone in his foot. Like, it was like his Achilles heel kind of. But you talk about a guy, he's posting workout videos again. Fade him at your own risk for the fourth or fifth straight year.
I won't believe any intel until Kitchen bumps into him at a Planet Fitness / Dairy Queen.
Can you imagine if there was like a Derrick Henry / Soccer Dave workout that we coordinated?
I hope so.
Yeah, I would please.
Yeah.
I would think I would inspire him a little.
What's the point of working for Better Collective if you guys can't pull the strings for content like that?
And you're in Nashville. You're literally there.
Come on.
I know. I've thought about that. I've thought about going to tight end you know, when Kittle and Kelsey and Olsen have all the tight ends coming down. And just see what I could do with my body and skill set. So yeah, like, we've got to do something. I agree, because I'm not getting any younger over here. All right.
I love it.
Running backs. Let's focus on PPR running backs in this year's class. What are some pass catching running backs that you're looking at for rookies, Peter?
Well, the hot name now that I just keep hearing mentioned everywhere that I thought was this Uber sleeper, but is Tyler Beatty? Is he he's in vogue,
dude,
right
he's
now
sick.
As the pass catching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rich, what do you think about Beatty?
Yeah. So if you want a satellite back in this class, there's definitely no shortage of them. I mean, Beatty was a guy, literally, when you look at just what he was asked to do last year at Missouri in terms of carrying, his collegiate offense compared to this class. I mean, he literally is number one. He was second in this class in percent of team carries. He was second in receptions among running backs. He was first in total yards from scrimmage. And he also had 43% of Missouri touchdowns, which was second in this class. The only thing that he says when it translates to the NFL, I mean, you have a guy that is 195 pounds, right? And does he get that workload in the NFL? We've seen that just teams in the NFL are just so reluctant to give these guys touches unless it's completely hell-bent out of necessity. I mean, even Austin Eckler, took him 5 years to get to the point where he is now. So, I mean, that's what we have, like, with Beatty and, Kyren Williams and, who's the other kid from Iowa down there that is a Tyler Goodson. Those guys are all kind of in that same bucket where they have intriguing profiles as pass catchers, but they just get enough, like, NFL touches, immediately out of the box, or just an NFL coaching staff just archetype them right away.
Yeah.
Any other pass catchers?
I do like Beatty, though. I mean, they're just kind of all like James Cook. They just kind of are all of that archetype, really.
Well, not Pierce all
Strong.
Well, the Rashad one sneaky White. Guy I think is still Damian Pierce. Like, because people see the highlights of Damian Pierce when they watch Just Bomb videos or whatever, and they see him lose his helmet.
Love the Just Bombs videos.
And he's like running over dudes without a helmet, but he has like legit like receiving chops. I mean, first of all, like, what teams will like is, like, the dude is like a straight up bully in pass protection. He didn't even allow a single pressure in pass protection last year. And he's 218 pounds, but he's like legit in the passing game. He was third in this class in yards per route run amongst running backs. He's got really good hands. And then he comes with all like the peripheral rushing stuff. I just don't know what the hell Dan Mullen was doing in Florida last year. This kid just didn't play, but anytime he touched the football, he was like completely electric. And like, maybe he's like Alvin Kamara-ish, where just like he was on a donkey coaching staff that didn't know how to use him.
I mean, they did same thing to Kadarius Toney.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's like a 218 pound guy, but he's really good in the passing game.
Yeah. Toney had some discipline issues as well, but that's also why Mullen's not there in Florida anymore. Staying in the SEC though, this guy, they called him Zeus, right? He never really realized his full potential at Georgia because of injuries, Zamir White, but he's a pretty stout guy, right? Like, he's like a touchdown. He's more of a half point PPR guy is what I'm thinking. More of a FanDuel type play. Peter?
I don't know a lot about Zamir White other than I've been taking him a lot in drafts with my thesis being I just want to load up on these cheap rookie running backs. So yeah, I'll defer to Rich on the Zamir White measurables.
Well, he was an elite five-star prospect, but he's had too many ACL injuries in college already before getting to the NFL. So I don't know how much that hurts him, but you saw him kind of get back to full strength, like at combine level. All his workout stuff really helped him out. But he's also, like Dave said, you look at it, his career at Georgia, was always playing with another guy that caught the football out of the backfield, and this past year with James Cook as well. So is that something that carries over in the NFL? Can he catch the football more? We don't know. But yeah, he might be more of like a two down type of guy where you need those big plays from. And interesting about him is even playing at Georgia, like the splash play runs really weren't there for him. I mean, he had one of the highest rates of yards before contact of any running back in his class, but then just didn't have a lot of explosive runs. And that's just, I wonder if teams look at that in unison with the knee injuries he's had and just wonder if it's just like that player that was recruited at that five-star caliber just like doesn't really exist anymore. So we'll have to see where the capital goes.
All right. Before we,
I kind of like him because I just view him as a guy that if a team did take him, that's probably them telling us that he can serve in a role that's like useful for fantasy for us.
Here's a question for you guys. So outside of the top two running backs, obviously all we really care about is volume. Do these guys get a crack at a starting role? Who are the players maybe in the Ramondre Stevenson mold that are just, you're so excited about their talent, their physicality, their explosiveness that you think they might be able to transcend even a loaded depth chart?
Oh, I'm none of them for me, but there's not a Zach Zenners is sort of what I'm saying, but Brian
there
Robinson.
Is a Zach Zenner. He actually came from the same school.
Oh, what's his name?
Pierre Strong.
Ooh. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know he was that good of a workout warrior.
Yeah. I mean, he had a real strong, he had a real strong combine, and then he's actually from the same school as a Jackrabbit.
Wow. Okay. All right. Take rescinded. But the converse of that, Pete, is Brian Robinson is a guy I'm not excited about as a talent, but a guy who I think very similar to like Damian Harris, guy he went to school with, or even a James Conner maybe is the better example. Like a guy who was really
He's
productive.
Pretty big, right? 6'2", 225. Like that's a pretty big running back.
Which is like, it's like the opposite of the Davis Maddox brand. Like he's not an exciting player, but I just very strongly feel at one point in his career, he's getting 250 touches.
Let's say Tyler Algier lands in a good spot. Would you be interested in him?
People really like that guy. I don't so much.
Well, he didn't have like a great combine as far as like measurables, right? But he is also like a tank. I mean, he is just let's see, he's 5'11", 221. So went to BYU.
Rich, do you like Algier? JJ likes him.
I mean, not so much on the surface, but like we said, even you might not like these guys. These guys still like the Algiers of the world, the Jerome Fords of the world, the Hassan Haskins of the world. Like these guys still like in your rookie drafts in third and fourth rounds are like more optimal picks than taking these like day three wide receivers that you're still holding a candle for, because all that matters is these guys get opportunity. Like, and you've got guys that are big enough to score fantasy points. Like if Algier plays and runs into a situation, like he's going to probably get goal line work. The same thing with like Hassan Haskins, whereas the inverse of some of the guys we talked about earlier, like a Tyler Beatty or a Kyren Williams, like they need multiple doors open to them. Like a team is going to say like, yeah, we're going to draft Algier or Jerome Ford or Brian Robinson, because they know that those guys are big enough to carry a workload, and if they're pressed to give those guys a workload, they'll get it. So, I mean, those guys, even if it's for 2 weeks on your fantasy roster, it's going to help you more than, like you say, like a Khalil Shakur or like hoping that Justin Ross like can hit if you know he's a
100%
round guy. Those guys are just going to impact fantasy games more. And those are the dudes when we talk about DFS and you're doing the Swolecast, like are going to be like, hey man, this dude's 4,300 on DraftKings. Or like this guy's, 57 on
Don't fantasy. Steal my like, bit. Don't and, steal my bit, Rich.
Yeah. I mean, those are the guys though. We're going to be talking about some of these guys that people think are just not good talents. We're going to be talking about them during the course of this rookie season because they're going to run into some opportunity that just these late round wide receivers won't.
Yeah, I didn't even think talent mattered really for running backs, is what I've always been told. So it's just about the landing spot.
Is that sort of interchangeable?
Yeah, except for,
is that sort of something you agree with, or
me?
Sort of, yeah.
No, I'm just saying that's what I've been told. That's why I was told that Derrick Henry was always just.
What is your research found?
My research says that the value is pretty, like, there's pretty condensed for these running backs, except when you have someone who's 6'2", 6'3", runs a 4.3 40, and gets all the opportunities in the goal line. That's what my research says. All right, before the show, we were talking about just how Easter candy way better than Halloween candy. So we're going to do a segment that we do every year called Name That Easter Candy, where you compare.
This is a bad take. Halloween candy is better because you get a greater variety.
No, Davis, you are wrong. You get all the cheapies. In my experience, like, the
Not in my neighborhood, dude. I live in a
Halloween candy gets thrown out than Easter candy.
100%.
That's probably true.
And with Easter, you get more chocolate. That's the bottom line.
That's a nag, though. That's a nag. You want a greater variety. You want some Nerds ropes. You want some Sour Patch Kids. You want some watermelon Sour Patch Kids. You want Swedish fish. You want chocolate.
I'm just telling you, with Halloween, you get like tons of like Jolly Ranchers, like the stuff that just you're throwing away, like the basic candy. Anyways. Let's move on.
I'm concerned for both of your guys' in-depth knowledge on the potential candy available on these holidays.
Well, Pete has no kids.
I just turn off the lights on Halloween and hope no one comes by.
All right. So
no children.
Name that Halloween candy. You gotta reference a running back, or we could do like any draft prospect, right? Let's just open it up. Who's the peep of this year's draft class?
Oh, Isaiah Spiller.
Why, Davis?
Other people seem to like him, but I can't stomach it at all. Not even a little bit.
I like it. All right. Rich, who's the peeps of this year's draft class?
Spiller's a really good answer. Probably Rashad White, though.
Yeah. University of Nebraska, Kearney's finest.
Just because, you know, it seems like that you know, no one really likes them as much as the public seems that they do, right?
Yeah. Okay. Like it exists, but you can't find his stands anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's multiple angles to go about this. It could be like you like it, but only for a certain period of time. Like you couldn't do it all the time. So Peter, what's your peeps of this year's draft class?
Yeah, I am. Peeps might be my least favorite candy. So I'll go I'll say Kyren Williams, right? Because he was supposed to be
gross.
Like that pass catching back, maybe you could get excited about. And then what did he run? Like a 4.7?
And had horrible agility numbers too. Like just F minus across the board.
Yeah. Sorry, Kyren. You're my peep of the week.
All right. Pete's peep of the week. Let's move on to the Cadbury egg of this year's draft class. Rich. Start us off. Cadbury egg of this year's draft class.
Kenneth Walker, for sure. Just too rich for me.
That's
the Cadbury egg, man. Just the Cadbury, it's an overload, right? Like, it's a lot of sugar. That's a lot of sugar.
Yeah. Davis?
Cadbury egg. I'm going to go Allergier. It's big. It's unwieldy. You're
creamy on the inside.
57-year-old. Your 57-year-old uncle is really into it because it reminds him of when he was younger, but it doesn't have really any appeal to me.
Okay. Peter?
I'll say Brian Robinson. It's decadent. You know, it comes from a strong pedigree, you know, with Alabama. God, I'm just trying to really stretch anything I know about Brian Robinson here. Yeah. And, you know, there's question marks about it. You know, is it potentially the best candy? No, but that pedigree gives you hope. And as you could see scenarios where it pans out, where it does really deliver on the promise when you bite into it. Mm-hmm. That's Brian Robinson for me. My Cadbury.
I was going to say, Zamir, as someone who is like hard on the outside, but you get into it and it's the structure is not as hard. All right. Yeah. So let's do a third one. What should it be? Reese's Eggs, Nerd Rope, Sour Patch Kids. Ooh, there was a Nerd Jelly Bean that was pretty good that I had. Or a Nerd
Starburst gummy. Jelly Beans are elite, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Starburst so let's jelly do, beans, I think, let's are underrated. Do the jelly beans. And you can even name a particular type of flavor jelly bean if you'd like. Davis, start us off.
Well, we get into personal preference here. So like my favorite flavors of all jelly related candies is always lemon because it's such a strong flavor. But I used to smoke cigarettes when I was younger. So my flavor profile is much different than most people's because my taste buds are kind of burnt out. So for me, the lemon jelly bean it's pretty solid. He just gets the job done. You're never disappointed. It's all good.
All right, Peter.
Well, I realized that I might even not like jelly beans as much as I dislike Peeps. So I scrolled down to the bottom of a ranks as far as I could go, and I found the name Abram Smith. So I'll say Abram Smith.
A converted linebacker.
Exactly.
All right.
It was trash that someone converted into thinking it was candy. Yeah.
I mean, go Starburst converting into a jelly bean. All right, Rich.
Yeah, I would say probably, James Cook. You know, he's not a full-size candy bar, but...
That's what I was looking for, that angle. The small yet bold kind of feel.
Yeah. And plus, he comes with, like, you know, people are going to stock that he's just Dalvin Cook's brother unnecessarily for no reason whatsoever. But that'll get weighed into someone's, you know, some dumbass scouts could be like, and he's Dalvin's brother. And like banging the table.
100%. That's getting thrown. I've never been more certain of something in my life.
For sure. But yeah, I would go James.
Yeah. The pedigree.
It's a bummer we didn't get Spiller related to CJ Spiller, and then we could have gotten the double.
Oh, I probably would have been in on him if he was related to CJ Spiller. People, the kids these days do not remember Buffalo Bills CJ Spiller. He was like 220-pound Jamal Charles. It was unbelievable.
Who's the workout warrior of this year's running back class?
We just covered this, and I found out that it was
Pierre Strong.
Yeah, it's literally his name.
Yeah,
okay. He's
it literally translates to strong boy.
All right. On that note, let's wind this
good,
up. Dave? Yeah, we're strong.
Yeah,
man.
My Chipotle just got delivered. Actually,
there you go.
I think.
What's the order? What's the Chipotle order for you, Pete?
I already know he's a chicken bowl guy.
Yeah, white double rice. double chicken, no beans, white rice. Yeah.
No, Pete gets beans because of the protein.
So today I did a salad. I had a free guac with it. Guac, I didn't do rice. I did black beans and they have the new like carne asada,
which is pretty good. Meat. Yeah.
So I got a double of that. And then just
I knew
all
you
the,
got double
the
meat
and stuff.
Gosh,
of course.
You have to get, Pete has legit burrito takes though, because he went to college in California.
Yeah, I mean, California burritos.
Getting his burritos.
But you were in San Diego, right?
Well, this is an actual issue with Chipotle and why it's easy to not actually get burritos there, because they don't mix around the ingredients. So you'll have like 10 straight bites of rice and it's just a miserable eating experience. At least with a bowl, you can mix it up.
Yeah. I always get the bowl. Yeah, always the bowl.
Get the bowl and then make your own?
People really missed out when they had brisket. There was like a 9-week period where Chipotle had brisket, and it was like obviously not the best brisket you could ever eat, but brisket inside of a Chipotle burrito bowl was like unbelievable. It was peak.
And Cava is the Mediterranean Chipotle and is also very good.
Yes. Kitchen, speaking of bowls, do you want to shout out all of our
420 followers?
Yeah.
I know this is a big holiday for you.
Yeah. I'll never go by a 420 without recognizing the time that I brought Davis to his first FSTA, really trying to make a mark, trying to be a respectable brand with Fantasy Insiders. and he wears a bucket hat, a plaid bucket hat with weed socks, with just marijuana leaves on the socks. And that's who he was, who we had representing us. So always.
Yeah, I needed to dress nice.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't you ask it? And not only that, but you raised your hand to ask a question during one of the Q&A sessions. Was that with Mark Cuban or somebody else?
I don't think Cuban was there. It was about what eventually became Showdown.
A single game slates. You think yeah. your question kind of opened the
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if Aguiar wasn't there and just sort of taking notes on what, you know, kind of the prodigy, the brilliant young wonder kid, you know, just sort of what was kind of banging on around in my brain at the time. Yeah.
That's why I asked Mark Cuban at the FSTA the following year about WNBA contest. So Levitan, Dink, Fear My Turtle, you guys should be sending me thank you letters because that also started the wheels in motion there. So anyways, okay. People tune in for this and to the show for the innovation, the great takes. That is the Swole Cast. Rich, tell everyone where they can find you these days.
At Sharp Football Analysis, that's where I have all my work.
Do you know Warren personally, Rich?
Yeah, I do. Wow,
that guy. He's like famous these days.
Yeah, he's got a lot of clout, man. A lot of effort. Is being
How does he come up with some of these tweets? Are they all his own?
I wish I knew, man. I don't have.
Or does he farm these out? Like, tell us, like, give us a little glimpse. Does he farm some of these out?
I mean, I don't believe so, but his Twitter game is pretty strong for
and his strongest takes are when he's throwing flames at people, because then like they just spread so wild. So
I don't have that kind of Twitter energy. I don't have that kind of energy.
He is so good at Twitter. It's really
he's really good. Almost
there's a few people that are legit good, and the energy you have to dispense to be that good at Twitter is just not. It's just not worth my time, to be honest.
You stay being a fan, I'll stay being the man. That's what I always say.
Yep.
Just know, I found out last week that if Elon Musk takes over Twitter, that Davis is no longer going to be on Twitter. So follow Davis at DavisMatic now or forever hold your peace.
I didn't say that. I just said it's one of
you said you were going to delete Twitter if Elon took it over. You said it would finally be the catalyst to get you to delete the hellhole that is Twitter.com.
I said maybe.
I think it would be really funny to play a game with Davis where you start listing, you know, individuals, hate groups, etc., that could take over Twitter and what it would take for Davis to actually leave this beloved app.
No,
it would be so hard. It would be like a.
Let's
like
not give examples. Off. No, let's not play this game right now.
Westboro.
I was just
got the new HR person in the office this week, so I don't want us to be canceled right away. All right, final takes. Rich, what's your final take before we end the show?
I mean, listen, just wait. These guys are going to be – Kitchen's going to talk about six of these running backs no one wants over the course of the NFL season.
Yep.
And then he's going to victory lap the one that hits for the end of eternity.
To be fair, last year, like, all those dudes hit. Like, maybe last year was more of a recency bias, but I feel like the running back pricing, like, all those guys ended up hitting. Like, all these chalk running backs. I can't even remember a dude that failed last year. Like, Alexander Mattison, Ramondre Stevenson, Darius Johnson. Like, all these guys smashed. Like, every single time. It did, like, we didn't get any hall pass on any of them.
It's crazy all the thank you mail I got. All right, Davis. Yeah,
Kitchen was sort of like the only guy who knew that
Davis, final thoughts.
Was going to be good.
Do you have final thoughts, yes or no?
Final thoughts, you know, I'm just – I'm really excited for our totally planned and organized Swolecast next week. It's going to be obviously coming out the day before the NFL draft, so it's going to be a big show.
We should do a live show next week.
Maybe we can fulfill Dan Bach's request of props for the NFL draft. That would make him pretty happy.
Swolecast top 10 prop bets for the NFL draft.
amazing SEO.
What is this show right now? We're just all eating and just while Rich watches.
When y'all started,
Rich. Yeah, everyone's eating, but yeah, like, all right, I mean,
Peter, final thoughts.
What happens. I mean, it's a professional outfit.
Final thoughts, Peter. It's always a pleasure having Rich on the show, and I think our listeners might be suffering from some kind of whiplash of actually having, you know, data back takes
actionable information on the show.
So
agree there. Rich, thanks so much for joining us again. Thank you for those that have made it this far. Leave a comment, leave a review on iTunes, and we're gonna be like Derrick Henry, the big dog. We're out of here, but we're gonna eat later.